Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, church. How you guys doing? Excited you guys made it to the midweek service. Give yourself a hand. You guys made it through the week. Wednesday hitting. I'm excited to jump into today's study. We are in Acts chapter 4, and I'm just going to be continuing the series and picking up where Pastor Justin Greer left off. I say this all the time, but I feel like I have to lead with this so you know a little bit about my character. I am the type of person that I have to be real and I have to be honest when it comes to spreading the word and spreading the gospel and any opportunity that I have to do so. I like to be honest because I do believe that God honors that. And so with that being said, this is my first time doing a verse-by-verse Bible study. If you know me, I'm the type of person that I get encouraging passages and I'll get verses and stories and I'll bring them together to drive a point home. That's what I'm used to doing, but now I've been limited to just stick to one passage and just do that one passage. And it's been challenging. If I'm being 100% honest, normally by Monday, I have it ready. I have my notes, my points, everything. I send it to Seth Parker, who's one of the tech guys here, and by Wednesday it's just proofreading until the delivering. Yesterday I had no idea what direction I was going. I actually sat down with Pastor Josh Vietti and Pastor Tom Hollenbeck and Pastor Justin Greer, and it was humbling, but it was a good feeling, and it was a good moment for me because God revealed something to me, something that I did that I didn't even realize was an issue. I have noticed anytime I do Bible studies, whether it's with my wife or whether it's in the high school or whether it's with our friends, anytime I prep for a sermon, I gravitate to the encouraging verses, right? I gravitate to the verses that talk about God's love. I gravitate to the verses that talk about mercy and grace. And they're good things, right? However, I noticed that in my walk, for the longest time, I was holding on to the encouraging verses and I was bypassing the lesson and the direction that God wanted me to go. So tonight, what we're going to do, and I'm excited to do this, tonight, when we dive into the Word, the goal isn't to give you guys a good feeling, right? The goal isn't to make you guys feel good. The goal is to give you direction in your marriages and in your life and in your future. So tonight, my hope and my prayer as we dive into God's Word is you leave here not just feeling encouraged, but you leave here with direction on where God wants to take you in your life. Amen? So we're going to go ahead and pray and get started. Let's pray this. God, we thank you so much for your Word. God, we thank you for the living, breathing word that affects us on a daily basis. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that every single person sitting in these chairs, myself included, that we know that we are here for a reason because you brought us here. So God, I pray that we would hear you tonight. God, I pray that we would feel and see and God, just change our lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. I'm titling today's message, Boldness. Seth Parker actually helped me out with this. I was sitting down there yesterday, and I'm going, man, I have no idea what direction we're going to take this. And he asked me, he said, well, what are you speaking on? And I said, boldness. He said, just keep it simple. So I did. I was like, Jesus kept it simple, so we're keeping it simple. We're talking about boldness. So if you have your Bibles out, get them out to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be starting in verse 8. But before I do, I want to give you guys a little bit of backstory of what's going on. We have Peter and John who have just been arrested, right? And they're brought forth to the Sanhedrin. For those of you guys who don't know who the Sanhedrin is, it's a group of elders and leaders, the same group of leaders that put Jesus to death, that condemned him to death. And this was a scene of power and intimidation. And they bring Peter and John and they start grilling them with questions. And it's the same questions that they ask Jesus, right? By what power, by what name are you doing these things? But what Peter and John do, this boldness that they have, is interesting. Let's read Acts 4, starting in verse 8. This is what it says. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" I love the lesson here is Peter is showing a different type of boldness. This isn't a boldness that his parents taught him. This isn't a boldness that he learned throughout his years of living. This is a boldness that only comes from God. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the same boldness, if you read in Acts chapter 2, when he's brought forth to this massive group of people. It says there's about 3,000 people, and he's preaching the good news. He's preaching miracles and things that are to come. But then he decides to start to talk about Jesus, the Messiah. And what's interesting is that the people, they didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. And so he put himself in a place where he possibly could have been stoned, but he didn't care because of the spiritual boldness that he had. And in doing so, 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people were saved. And in the same situation, he's standing before this scene of intimidation and power, and they ask him the question, and instead of it being a stumbling block for his life, he decides to use that as an opportunity to share on who Jesus is. Church, how many times have we gone through that stumbling block in our lives? I feel like on a daily basis, I go through stumbling blocks in my life, and to be honest, I don't persevere every time. Possibly 70% of the time I get stumbled. Luckily, I have a wife who is a prayer warrior and helps me get through it. But this is what happens. Peter sees this unpleasant circumstance, and what we learned is that this boldness comes from God. My first point is this, that the source of our boldness comes from God. Let's get 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8, and it says this. It says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." I love this verse. This was one of the first verses when I started to do ministry here with Pastor Tom Hollenbeck, who just did the announcements. He was my mentor for the longest time. I was under him. And we went out to public schools to spread the gospel. North High was one of those schools. And I remember the first time he taught me that ministry happened outside of the walls, because it's easy to talk about Jesus when it comes to the church, because everyone wants to hear about Jesus for the most part. But outside of these walls, there are people who don't proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are people who have other ideas and ideologies and other kings and other whatever. And so for the first time, I'm going to this school, and I was terrified. But it was good for me. Long story short, he ended up giving me North High. He went and started doing other things. I started preaching the gospel at North High, and I realized that this was church, that this was community, that there were people who were dealing with suicidal thoughts, there were people dealing with depression and anxiety. However, it was the boldness, that spiritual boldness, that led me to continue to put myself in these anxious situations and public speaking with people who wanted nothing to do with God. Now, we have gone to about 10 different public schools, and currently I'm at 6 schools weekly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this isn't to toot my own horn. I'm not saying, look at what I'm doing. But what I am saying is that we are called to be bold, to fulfill his will and to fulfill his purpose for our lives. And the crazy part is, you and I, we don't have to try and summon the courage and the boldness on our own. All we do is just submit to God. We just submit to God, to the Spirit that is already inside of us. And we just watch and see what he does in your life. Let's continue reading. Acts 4, 15 to 18 says this. It says, "But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is an evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name.' So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." The same people that put Jesus to death, now they're asking Peter and John. This is like a threat. They're saying that you cannot preach the gospel anymore. You cannot preach about Jesus anymore. You're done. This is it. They could have stopped there. They could have gone home. But what I love about Peter and John is they walked with Jesus, right? They've experienced the miracles. They've been in communion with the creator of the universe. And one thing that I have found out to be true in our lives, it is when we are confident in the gospel that we can do big things. There's this quote that I got from the Bible Project. And it says this. It says, "When we are convinced that the gospel is true and gives life and is eternal, we can speak with boldness, knowing that God will use it to impact our world." I can't tell you how many numerous debates I've been going to these public schools and about the logistic of who God is. And let me just say this, church, we don't believe in just some ideology. We don't believe in a myth. We believe in an actual historical event that took place some 2,000 years ago where there was a man named Jesus who walked the earth, who created miracles, who showed what true love is. And in doing so, he displayed that love on the cross, paid for our debt, rose from the dead 3 days later, and now changed the relationship between humanity and God for all of eternity. Actual historical events. And it is this confidence in this truth that helps us in fulfilling God's purpose and fulfilling God's will for our lives. And we see that happen with Peter and John. And this was their response. Acts 19 through 20. It says this, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard.'" My second point is this: be bold with the gospel. One of my favorite God stories just recently happened, and I'm excited to share this. A long time ago, when we moved to Bakersfield, we actually lived in Lamont. Isn't anyone from Lamont? You guys ever had carnitas sudapan? Bum, some of the best chicharrones you ever have in your life. But we would go to, we would anytime we had parties, we would have them in Lamont. And we still have family to this day out there. And when I first got saved, we ended up going to Lamont. We had a party out there. And it was my first time really getting in a relationship with God. And so my cousins were there. Now my cousins knew me before I was saved. So they knew the old Gennaro. They knew the drinking, the smoking, the being a knucklehead Gennaro. And in my head, I'm going, man, like they're gonna think that I'm a hypocrite, but I wanna go share the gospel with them. And so I did. We went out there, we were playing basketball, I was waiting for my moment, and it was after everyone had ate, so no one was hangry. And I started to share about Jesus. And a lot of them just kind of passed me by. But there was this one kid, he wasn't even part of the family. He was one of the neighbors that was invited over. And there was this little kid, and he was sitting by the basketball courts, and he asked me the question. He said, is it really a relationship? Like, who is this God? And for 15, 20 minutes, I was able to share the gospel with him. I was able to be bold and share who God is. Never saw that kid again in my life. I have no idea what happened. It gets better. My first time preaching here on stage a couple months ago, I got to share about my dad and about the loss of my dad and the confidence that I have that he's in heaven. And afterwards, I came right here to pray over people. And this tall, lengthy man comes up to me, and he asked if I remember him. And I said, no. And he said, you had preached the gospel to me while we were playing basketball. His name's Christian. And he said, ever since that time, I started my walk with God. And it's crazy. Because sometimes, I luckily got to see the fruit in that. But it's crazy because think of how many people in your life right now that need to hear the gospel. Think of how many people right now that need to hear the truth and love of Jesus. So that second point, be bold with the gospel. Let's keep reading. This is where it gets crazy. Acts 4, 23 to 24, it says this. And when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they had heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Verse 29, sorry. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And then the last verse says this, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What is happening here is after they were released, they were able to speak with confidence. They acknowledged who their God is. And notice after this unpleasant circumstance took place, they didn't go home, right? They weren't bummed out that this happened. They weren't bummed out that now they're in the radar, that they're potentially going to be killed. They weren't bummed. What they did, instead of going home and being on their own, they went with their friends. They went to community and they prayed. If you get anything out of being bold, if you get anything out of tonight, it is this. I know just because we're believers doesn't mean that our lives are going to be amazing, but what you and I could do in the confidence of walking with Jesus is knowing that he's going to place community in your life to help you every step of the way. And I have seen it when I lost my dad. I have seen it when my parents got divorced. I have seen it when I've gotten in car accidents. I have seen it when I have not had any money in my bank account. I have seen this in so many different areas in my life, how community has come through and has helped me when I couldn't stand on my own. And what Peter and John does is they do the same thing. They go to their community and it says that they pray. And what they pray for is more boldness. They pray for more power. And they pray for more troubles. What Peter and John know is that with trials and tribulations, there is growth. With trials in your life, there is growth. And this is something that I'm having a hard time really understanding, because when anything happens, when there's any push in my life, I instantly just kind of retreat. When there's any push in my life, my boldness isn't there, if I'm being 100% honest. But the truth of the matter is when we do go through these unpleasant circumstances, we should not fear. Why? Because the strength and the boldness and the perseverance is in our own strength, but it comes from the Lord. My last and final point is this, and I want to talk to you guys for a sec, but boldness leads to growth. I had COVID for the third time, and I know it's crazy, they should give me a medal. For the third time in my life, I had COVID, and I have a lot of amazing friends, I will say that. I have a lot of amazing people here at the church even who are praying and who are sending me encouraging verses. Something kind of happened in that time frame that I actually got pretty sick, and I was home, and I was stuck in this room for 24 hours a day, and I couldn't keep any food in. I lost like 15 pounds, and it got pretty bad. But I had people texting me and sending me encouraging Bible verses and telling me, you know, that things were going to be good and telling me that they were praying for me. And it was all great, and it felt good. And in the mornings, I would open the scriptures, and I would read an encouraging passage. But if I'm being honest, by midday, I was discouraged. I wasn't getting any better. I couldn't go and hang out with my community. I was stuck in my own head, and I was allowing the thoughts of my future kind of get the best of me, the fears and the worries and the anxieties. Have you ever been there before? And so what ended up happening was I caught myself kind of just laying there, And it was the first time that I realized that this was an opportunity for me to be bold. This was an opportunity for me to actually do something about this. I called one of my close friends, and I just started confessing everything, telling him things that I was doing, telling him the sickness, how I was feeling, telling him the truth, not sugarcoating anything. And for the first time in a while, I felt great. I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. And here's what I want to do today. Here's the challenge that I have for every single one of us. We're going to have a prayer team come up. You can wait for tomorrow. You can wait for next week, but we're not even promised that. What I want to do, my prayer and my hope was so that you guys can leave this place not just feeling encouraged, but knowing the direction that God wants you to go. Like Peter and John, what they did, they got with community and prayed. That was the one thing. It said that the place that they were at started shaking. Wonders happened. So you can sit here and listen to the message and then leave, and then it'll just be another Wednesday night, or you can sit here and you can actually tap into the boldness and the strength that comes with Jesus living inside of you and come get prayer with your families, come get prayer with your spouses, and just lay whatever it is that's bugging you on the altar, because I know you guys are here not just to hear a word, but you guys want something in your life, and God wants to give you that something. So we're going to have a prayer group come up. I know it was super short. I want to pray for you guys. And then the real prayer is going to happen after this with every single one of you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this. God, we thank you so much for your son. God, we thank you so much for the changes that you're making in our lives. Father, I pray that you would start to insert your boldness and your perseverance and your strength into every heart in this room. God, if there's someone in here who's submitting to their pride or submitting to anger or lust, whatever it may be, Father, I pray that that submission would go to you. God, I pray that this would be the time that we would be in tune with what you want us to do. Father, you have a purpose for every single person in here. And if there's someone who never gave their life to God, God, I ask that you would place it on their hearts. So Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for your word and for the lesson and for direction. And I pray, Father, that for the rest of tonight, we would continue to make moves to get closer and get and be you. Change us into being the men and women that you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. Thank you, guys. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.